Did you hear our discussion recently with Corey Silverberg, the sex educator? They write lovely books for kids about relationships and human development, and they present intersex variations as just a part of the normal diversity of human bodies. Sadly, though, that's not how most intersex people have been treated to date. Many have had invasive surgeries, often before they were old enough to consent, and that can have lifelong impacts on people's sense of identity. New legislation introduced in the ACT last week is the first in Australia to recognise the rights of intersex people to decide what happens to their bodies. Morgan Carpenter is a bioethicist and Executive Director of Intersex Human Rights Australia. Morgan, welcome.
Hello, Hilary. It's great to be with you this morning.
Great to have you here. Now, your group was formed in 2010, and over a decade later, how big a moment is it to see this new legislation introduced in the ACT?
Oh, look, it's really exciting. We have been working for over a decade at Intersex Human Rights Australia, moving towards this moment where legislation has been introduced, and we look forward to seeing what happens next. And of course, we're working with the ACT government on a range of issues around implementation, which we hope will be effective and protect the human rights of people with intersex variations in medical settings.
Well, yes, and as we've seen, there's some very entrenched views in medical settings about intersex variations. And one aspect of this legislation is the move to ban unnecessary surgeries, which are often performed on intersex people as babies. Tell us a bit about the thinking in medical circles that led to those surgeries.
Well, I mean, the medical interventions on infants, children, and adolescents have been around since probably the 1930s, and certainly from the 1950s and 1960s in Australia. And the intent has ultimately been to change children's bodies and the belief that it will fit them into society as future heterosexual cisgender adults. And the medical interventions can involve both feminizing surgeries on some children and also masculinizing surgeries on others, and also hormone treatment with the aim of preparing children for future heterosexual intercourse. And of course, you know, the experiences of people who've undergone surgeries and medical interventions is often at odds with expectations about ideas about who we should be. And you mentioned already that there can be consequences for people's development of identity. But we know also that there are significant consequences for sexual functioning and sensation arising out of early medical interventions. So it's not just a matter of medical interventions not fitting people's values and preferences about who we are, how we live in the world. It's also about our ability to receive sexual pleasure and sexual function as well.
Yes, and that has impacts on relationships too. We're speaking with Morgan Carpenter, a bioethicist and Executive Director of Intersex Human Rights Australia. And this new legislation, which has been introduced in the ACT, not passed yet, is the first in Australia to recognise the rights of intersex people to decide what happens to their bodies. But Morgan, it goes beyond that too, doesn't it? Has it got an aspect of psychosocial support as well?
Well, yes. I mean, I think what's happened historically and still unfortunately remains prevalent today, that there's a belief that if children have their bodies fixed surgically, then they're all sorted and all okay now, and families don't need support to understand what it's like to raise a child who's different. And individuals don't need psychosocial or psychological support to deal with the experience of being different. So organisations like mine and our sibling organisations like Intersex Peer Support Australia have a strong focus on trying to improve psychosocial support for families and individuals. And we deliver some of that support, and we also work with other organisations to try and improve services.
We're joined today too on Life Matters by Bonnie Hart. She works in psychosocial support for intersex people. She designed a program called Interlink, a peer-led and community-based intersex psychosocial support program. And Bonnie, it sounds like you're on every advisory committee there is. What was it like for you seeing this legislation introduced into an Australian parliament?
Hi, Hilary. Look, it is hard to find words actually to describe what it was like being there. It was a very emotional event. It was also like the culmination of so much work and so much speaking out from so many different people for a long time. It takes quite a lot of effort for people to come forward and talk about their experiences, particularly if they've had negative experiences within healthcare setting, to talk about those more, I suppose, challenging aspects about having engaged with the medical treatment paradigm for their bodies and how that's played out over their lives.
Well, yes.
So to actually see some more robust protections around people's rights, but then also access to supports in and some government leadership around that, it was really, really wonderful.
Yes, some of the research you've done is looking at stories that people tell about their experiences in medical and non-medical settings, and just the level of shame and stigma that was attached to them was appalling. What kind of psychosocial support have people said to you is most useful, Bonnie, to try and deal with some of those feelings?
So the type of psychosocial support that people need is different depending on the type of intersex variation that they have and the time that they find out about it. So really we, earlier access to psychosocial support is always better, because the sooner people can start having conversations about their bodies and any differences that they might have, the better equipped that they are to be in the world and be able to talk about their bodies with the people they want to talk about them with. It's not just people who have intersex variations that need support as well. It's also the family members of people with intersex variations, particularly parents and carers of children, because they're often the ones that are, particularly if an intersex variation is visible at birth, but, you know, not every intersex variation is. But for those that are, the parents play a really great role in terms of understanding the types of issues that might come up for the child, and navigating a lot of medical information about possible treatment paradigms that might be presented for their child. So to do that on your own and to have to learn all that is can be really stressful and can put a lot of pressure. So that parents really could benefit in that space from psychosocial support as well. That's one of the reasons why the ACT government has implemented increased funding for psychosocial support, to just wrap some services around people so that they can find mental health supports, but also allied health supports and community-based peer supports as well.
Yes, well, I was wondering, Bonnie, whether some parents and families might be carrying a degree of guilt about consenting to interventions that their child later realised was not right for them.
Yeah, it certainly can impact families and how they work. It's a lot of burden to have and to make those decisions, often in a time-pressured kind of way as well. So really, a lot of these legislations will help to try and create more time for parents to make informed decisions and get access to information as well. But there should still always be psychosocial services for people who have experienced those medical interventions, particularly when they've had a negative outcome.
Morgan, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, look, I think parents often have the best of intentions, regarding their children, and they take advice from clinicians. And one of the key problems is that medical interventions are not very well evidenced or have a basis in gender stereotypes rather than any physical urgency or need. So legislation, I think, has been really important to help kind of reframe what medical interventions are understood to be appropriate for parents to consent to.
Well, yes, and you mentioned before looking at ways to make sure this law is upheld once it's passed. What are some ways that you might work with the medical system to make sure these decisions are made in a more ethically solid way and not just about assigning people to a particular gender box?
Well, assigning people to a gender box is completely okay and necessary, I think, in our society. But we don't need to change people's bodies to more closely fit ideas about how girls or boys should look or function. Those kinds of medical interventions can wait until people are older and can make their own decisions about how they want to be in the world and when they might want surgery. And some people may choose surgery, and that's entirely appropriate if it's their own choice. But when there are significant concerns about sexual function and sensation following surgery, I think it's really important that they wait. So we're doing a lot of work on a kind of ethical analysis and human rights analysis, and we're doing our best to work with clinicians across Australia and also internationally to improve psychosocial support and improve the information that parents and individuals get about intersex variations. And we're very happy to be working with the ACT government on these reforms with the aim of making sure that they are effective and meet the needs of individuals and families.
Yes. Bonnie Hart, what would you like to see happen next for intersex people in Australia? A similar legislation in other states, for example?
Yeah, that would be really great. And maybe some national legislation as well, just to provide some overarching consistency. What we really want is for people to be able to access the services that they need when they need them. And that includes being able to make those really informed decisions and feel supported at every point of the way. And that might mean opting for psychosocial supports or interventions as opposed to biomedical interventions. And for people to get connected with communities, other people that have similar types of experiences or have similar types of bodies. So that type of stuff really is helpful in terms of allowing people a space to talk about their experiences, but then also to share information about how to live well with bodies that are a bit different, accessing good, appropriate medical services, which many people need. but then also, yeah. Being able to be seen and talk about their intersex variation in a safe and supported space is really helpful.
That seems like a basic human right. Bonnie, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Hilary.
Bonnie Hart, the designer of Interlink, a peer-led and community-based intersex psychosocial support program. And she works also with Intersex Human Rights Australia. Morgan Carpenter is the executive director and a bioethicist. Morgan, great to have you with us today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having us on the program. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. You're listening to Life Matters on ABCRN.
ABCRN helps you understand.